Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you just stand or sit where you are? And would you begin to worship the Lord with your hands if you're comfortable doing that? Maybe if you're not even comfortable doing that, you'll lift your hands this morning and you'll worship Jesus in this place, the place where you are, this place. You can worship Him where you are. You can lift your hands and you can shout His praise. We can give Him the glory that is His alone. We can do what those people did all those years ago when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. They were shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna! They were giving Him the praise that He is due. Oh, I encourage you to worship Him out loud. Just worship Jesus this morning. Oh, Master, we come into Your presence. For You are not a sacrifice that was once slain and died and were disposed of. But You, Jesus, entering that city for Your last week, knew what You were facing. And You went into that city with anticipation and assurance and confidence that what the Father was about to do would change the world forever. I pray, Lord, that what we do here today will change somebody's world forever toward You, Jesus. That no matter what's going on around us, we lay it all aside for the next few minutes and we worship You and we listen to Your Holy Spirit speak to us through Your Word and through the preaching of Your Word. Thank You, Lord, that it's not the greatness of the preachers that are filling the airwaves this morning. It is the power of Your living Word and the power of Your Holy Spirit that bring life to those who listen and respond. We give You praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 We are so blessed here at Victory Road to have this wonderful team, actually a couple of teams of people who come and who minister to us in this way. They come and practice, and then they come in the morning and they practice again and they get ready to do this. And of course, there's people outside of here. We are keeping the 10-person rule. We're being careful about that. We want you to be aware of that. A couple of quick things before we get started in the Word this morning and in the Scriptures together. While I'm talking, you might want to get your Bible and turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, because that's where we're going to go again this morning, and want you to join us in that place. So, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. I just am so grateful to all of you who have been faithful to continue to support the things that we support. Our assistant general superintendent wrote a piece yesterday about the need for faithfulness to those who can't change their circumstances, whether poor people around us, who those that are losing their jobs, those kinds of activities and events that are taking place in so many lives, and our missionaries scattered around the world. They can't change any of their circumstances. We have many friends. I have many friends that can't leave their country. They are bound into a region of their country and their country. Can't get on a plane and come home even if they want to. So we pray for them and we hold them up to You. Our executive director of Assemblies of God World Missions still is lying in a hospital and working hard to let his body recover from this terrible virus. Some of my friends have recovered and have returned home, and I'm very grateful for that, as I'm sure you are too. So this morning as we enter into this, what we want to do is lay everything else aside and remember that this is what we call Easter week. And in Easter week, Jesus knew what He was walking into. Jesus knew what the week held. And He willingly walked into that week. So we're going to willingly walk into the week also. And we have permission right now to do a drive-in service next Sunday morning. And we'll do that at 10 a.m. The cars will be parked in a certain way. We'll have parking lot attendants. And we're going to do the music live. If we do this right, we can space the cars properly. Everybody can see. Hopefully everybody can hear. And like I said, we've talked this through with officials and have permission as long as we do the things that we're supposed to do. We will also have communion, and we're working out the final details on that. But each car will have its own elements, and they will only have been handled by the one time before they're passed into the car. So that should all be safe as well. We want you to know we're taking every action we can, but at the same time, we just felt the need that we want to gather on that day, even for a brief time, maybe an hour, and just sit in the presence of the Lord, worship together, hear a message on Easter and the promise that it holds, and we invite you to come. If the parking lot runs out of space, well, we'll put you in another part of the parking lot. May not hear as well, may not see as well, but you'll be here with us and you're welcome to come and join us. So we want those things to take place. I'm excited, something we've never done before, and looking forward to it. And this great team, our worship team and the technicians are going to work very hard to pull this off. So join us if you can. The only thing that may change is if the weather goes bad, we'll shut it all down and we'll move back in and do this on Easter Sunday morning, just like we've been doing it. Nothing will change on the live feed in here. But outside, we won't be able to film it as easy, so we probably won't do that. We'll see what happens. We'll see what we can work out. But again, thank you for joining us this morning, and want to get into the Word and what the Lord is speaking to us. We've been doing a series of messages called On the Road, and it's about Jesus' journey from Galilee up to this place called Jerusalem. Last week we talked about his journey from Jericho to Jerusalem. And this week we're going to look at a different aspect of it, even as we move into this wonderful week, this celebratory week that we call Easter week, Resurrection week. I don't know if you stop and think about this, but Jesus did some amazing things as he moved into the last week of his life as a man. He knew that. And it is what sets the tone for all of us who are hoping for better days, and it helps us focus on the moment rather than the uncertainty around us. I know that some of us are incredibly fearful. I know that there are people that are hoarding. I know that there are people that are sharing. I know that there are people doing everything they can to help others around them. I know there are people that are just hiding out. We want you to know that, you know, nobody's mad at you if you're hiding out. And there is a reward to serving others and praying for others. We have to find a way to keep Jesus front and center in all we're doing in this time. That's why we're doing this live broadcast. This would be far easier to record and then put it up. But we want the real things taking place. We want you to hear us. We want you to worship with us, not at a convenient time, but at this time. And that's what was happening in the story. There was no second go-round of Jesus riding into Jerusalem. There was no second chance to see what he was going to do. All that these folks were facing was what was happening in the moment. No cameras, no do-overs, none of the things that we take so for granted because of our technology. Ah, I can walk this out in a convenient time and in a convenient way. Much of what Jesus did was inconvenient. It was inconvenient to the people that were in authority. It was inconvenient to the people who were following him. They had to leave their homes. They had to make a choice to take long walking journeys. Maybe they were healthier than we are. I don't know, but they had to do that. And so this is where we come to as we get into Mark chapter 11. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 and read about 11 verses. It's a story that's familiar to all of us, or at least most of us. And we love the pageantry that we kind of see in it. People throwing branches on the ground, taking their cloaks and coats off and throwing them on the ground. This holy miracle-working man riding into the city on the colt of a donkey that had never been ridden before. What an amazing story. It's why it's so hard to believe what took place in the week. But here's what the scripture says. Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. Stop there for just a moment. You have to realize that what Jesus was sending his disciples to do was essentially theft. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but he was telling them to do something that the law forbade. But he goes on to say, and if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it here. God has a way of speaking to those who he wants to use and whose things he wants to use. And that's what took place here. Jesus didn't just take it. He'd already prepared the heart of the owner of that donkey colt to let Jesus have it. He didn't say, Jesus said, let the Lord, which means let the one who is over everything have it. Wants to borrow your donkey. Now, if we knew that it was Jesus that wanted to borrow our donkey, we probably would give it to him. But that's what took place here. God had already prepared the heart of the owner of this animal to be used. But Jesus didn't go get it himself. Jesus sent two disciples. He said, go and do something. That act of obedience is characteristic of a true follower of Jesus. It's not about how convenient something is or if I should or shouldn't do it. It's what is the Lord asking me to do? And am I doing it in faith and obedience to Jesus? Not what I would choose to do, but what he's asked me to do. So no matter what that is, it takes faith, it takes obedience, it takes commitment, it takes confidence that Jesus knows what he's doing and saying. And I want to ask you before we start this morning, do you have that confidence in these times? Do you have the confidence in this Jesus that we say we follow, that when he asks us, or commands us, as the scripture says, or tells us, whatever word you want to use, if he has that and he does that and you hear it, are you willing to do what these disciples did going on in the scripture? So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing loosing the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, so they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Some of you are saying Hosanna. That's okay too. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Jesus traveled from Jericho to Jerusalem in one day. And as he approached Jerusalem, he needed a ride into town. The reason that this is so important is because about 490 years earlier, there was a prophet named Zechariah who would foretell this. And here's what the prophet said. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, how could Jesus know that 490 years earlier? Because he's God. He wasn't just trying to fulfill the scripture that he knew, because there's no way 490 years later you could know that somebody was going to loan you their colt. Zechariah, the prophet, had to hear, had to respond, wrote it down, and now we have it recorded in the New Testament what happened about 490 years earlier. Our God knows what's going on right now in this world. He knows what tomorrow holds. He knows where He is leading us. He knows what's going to happen in your life, in my life. He can speak to owners of things to release them. He can speak to disciples to take what's needed and distribute it as necessary. That's the God we serve. He is alive. He's not a dead God. He's not a distant God. He's a present help as we walk through these days. That's why I love the story. And there are so many things that are just fun about the story to me. This story of Jesus riding from the Mount of Olives and into Jerusalem is a favorite of mine. I love it that Jesus still does the expected unexpected. And I believe He's doing that in these days as well. I've heard some testimonies. The Bible says that God's ways are not our ways, but we keep thinking and acting on our ways and expectations, and that's why so many of us are so disturbed. I understand that we must have concern, but we must not live in fear and panic. We just must not do that. This very real pandemic we're experiencing is much like the people in those days, what the people in those days were experiencing too. Under the Roman rule. They mostly hated the Roman rule. Taxes were high. Rules were very restrictive. The common folk had very little power over much of anything in their lives. So as Jesus, the miracle worker they had all heard about, was coming into the city, they were hoping things would change. Maybe He'd throw out the corrupt rulers and end some of the restrictions with the same power He used to heal and deliver. Maybe He'd do those kinds of amazing things. Maybe who had exercised the authority that made demons obey, and He'd take control of the government. These people were ready to celebrate the possibilities, and that's what they were doing as He came into town. They had no idea what lay ahead, just like we don't have any idea what lays ahead in front of us. There is no path that we can take. There's no moment like this, that certainly in my lifetime, that we have. And the interesting thing to me is that Jesus didn't discourage them from shouting Hosanna and making a lot of noise and throwing the branches down and taking their coats off and throwing them on the ground so that the donkey's feet didn't tread on the stones of the road, but rather walked on the clothes of the people and the branches that they had taken and cut down. Jesus didn't tell them to be quiet. The only people that told them to be quiet were the religious people who said to His disciples, "Tell these people to be quiet." And Jesus responded in another one of the Gospels, and He says to them, "You know, if they shut their mouths, the rocks themselves will cry out." Folks, we're smarter than rocks, amen? We have a better voice than rocks, amen? So we should be shouting, "Our King is coming." And so that's what I titled the message this morning, "On the Road to a Crown." Everything that they were expecting, Jesus was beginning to fulfill. But the rest of the time, it wouldn't be fulfilled in the way they anticipated. But they were celebrating loudly on this day. Jesus is coming to town. Maybe things will change. And He did change them. They didn't change it in the way they expected. On this day, though, they were noisy and hopeful and excited. So as we celebrate this Palm Sunday, we need to remember that these folks were seeking a new king who would benefit them and their future. And here's what we can learn from this on-the-road journey with Jesus today. Let's pray one more time and ask Him to make His word jump out and become alive to us. No preacher is capable of doing this with their own words or their own strength. They were seeking a new king that would benefit them and their future, and that's what we learn from this on the road with Jesus journey. There's some things that we can learn. So just in the next few moments, I want to look at a few things that I hope you can carry into your week and the days ahead as things change day by day. And even people we love are affected by the things that we're seeing and hearing. And people don't always behave kindly, although I've seen an awful lot of kindness in our community. I so appreciate Norfolk because there is so much kindness. But in the middle of it, there are the people that are trying to take advantage of others. And I saw just this week on a program where a man was selling a package of toilet paper for $60. The police showed up. And the man had a hard time understanding why the police would be upset that he was selling a package of toilet paper for $60. He was arguing with the police officers. He was saying, I'm just providing a service to people who need it. Why are you hassling me? Why are you harassing me? Folks, there are people that are going to try and take advantage of every bad situation. We don't need to fear them. We just don't need to pay much attention to them either. Because God is our source, not a $60 pack of toilet paper. If you can't eat it, it's probably not going to help you very long anyway. So I just want to remind you that this journey is a joyful journey. This journey is exciting because Jesus is in the middle of all of this, because he lives. So I want to make some thoughts this morning as we finish up in the next few moments. First, it's easy to follow Jesus when he's doing what we expect and hope for. You know, when a few weeks ago everything seemed normal to us and the rest of the world was being influenced, no big deal. But now, all of a sudden, everything changed. What changed? What changed about Jesus in the last few weeks? What changed about the intent and purposes of God? What changed about the character of God or the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? What changed? Nothing. Nothing's changed. Just the inconveniences of life have pushed in on us. And I have to be the first to admit that I have no desire to sit in my house for 14 days or 21 or 3 months or whatever the folks are talking about now. I have no desire to do that. So, we adjust. We do what we have to do in the moments. And that's what I want us to understand. It's easy to follow Jesus 2 months ago. It's because he's doing what we expect. The employment is high. Everything is good. Money is flowing. I'm making a living. Wow, everything is good. But in a short period of time, that all changed. That's the story of Easter week as well. The many people who followed Jesus from Jericho and were still with Jesus as they approached Jerusalem. This was the same crowd. They'd walked up that hill. They'd done all that stuff. And they willingly went and did what he told them to do, even though it was an unusual request. Take that donkey colt and bring it to me. It probably meant that the donkey colt had never been ridden. Now, one of my favorite childhood memories is we lived on a ranch in Arizona for a while. And it was actually a military academy, a school for boys. And my dad was the foreman. And that was some of the best memories of my childhood, actually. We lived out there, and we had a bunch of donkeys and horses and different things on that ranch. And one of my brothers one day decided he was going to ride one of those donkeys. And so we encouraged him to do that because we're good brothers. We know we want to encourage our brothers to have experiences like we've had. And we knew that that particular donkey was not real stable, that she would buck when certain things took place. So we encouraged our brother to do those certain things. And sure enough, she bucked and he flew off into a big cactus patch, right in the middle of a prickly pear patch like you don't see here in Nebraska. Just a huge prickly pear patch. And one of my other brothers and I were there, and being the kind brothers we were, we laughed until we realized how bad he was hurting because he was in that patch. And it took my folks a long time to pull all those tiny little needles out of him from that bucking donkey. Well, Jesus got on a donkey like that, one that was never ridden, never broke, but under Jesus, that unbroken donkey submitted to him. Folks, you and I are smarter than an unbroken donkey. We can let Jesus ride us, if you will. We can let him walk with us. We can let him tell us what to do. And it isn't going to always be roses in our lives. It's easy to follow him when he's doing what we expect. Second thing I want you to know is this. We must not be silent about our hope, our joy, or our efforts to make Jesus known. In these times, sometimes it's hard to talk about hope. It's hard to talk about the future because we don't know what it holds. You have to live in the moment. And that's what we're doing. We're living in the moment. But Jesus is still Jesus. And we can't be silent in the moment, whatever the moment is. The Bible says the joy of the Lord gives us strength. You've probably heard that many, many times. But that's what this is. It's in this moment that we should be joyful, filled with hope, and everything we do should be to help make Jesus known, and known better by those who only know him a little. My Jesus hasn't changed. My God hasn't shifted. God hasn't abandoned us. Jesus is fulfilling what he said he would do. And I got to have so many conversations with people this week. A man came here to do something, look at something, that some work we needed done. And we ended up spending about an hour just talking about Jesus, talking about his journey to the Lord, and how he loves taking his children to church. He doesn't attend our church, never has. But we are brothers in the Lord because we have the same King. We have the same Lord. We have the same Savior. It was wonderful to talk to him. I love those serendipity moments. We should be shouting our hosannas, especially in the time of uncertainty and fearfulness. We should be shouting louder than anybody, not shut up to those that are rejoicing. But we should join them in rejoicing. That no matter what happens, Jesus is in town. Jesus is here. He's with us. He hasn't forsaken us. We can shout to the housetops with that. This is a day of celebration. It's full of promise. It's full of anticipation of what Jesus is about to accomplish. And this was something they yearned to see happen, had been promised for thousands of years, just like we're yearning to have our lives return to something more normal than what we're now experiencing. And it will. It will. It may be a little bit different normal, but it'll return to it. One of the things that has struck me about this is there's no place to run to. Nothing we can do. We're just here. We have to walk this through. So we walk it through with hosannas. Amen, church? We walk it through with hosannas on our lips. We can lament. There's nothing wrong with that. We can grieve with those that grieve. We can mourn with those that mourn. But we can rejoice with those that rejoice. And there is rejoicing out there. Of all the people that have contracted this, about 97-98% recover. I know that 2% is important. I understand that. But folks, our focus is on the pain and not on the promise. We need to turn it from the pain to the promise and the hopefulness that there is. Even as we obey the rules, even as we follow this out, even as things change day by day, the hope is on the promise that Jesus brings to life. That's what we're here to do. Jesus knew who he was. He knew what he was going toward. Something far superior to a temporary throne and a temporary crown, or ruling a temporary kingdom. If you know the story of Jesus at all, you know that they thought, the people thought, he was coming in as a new king, that he was going to get crowned, that he was going to take over, that he was going to rule all of a sudden. And he is. But not then. Not in that moment. In that moment, he had another assignment. And his assignment was no less important. In fact, it was the most important assignment that he'd ever been given by his Father, which was to go to the cross, which is where this road ultimately leads. It led to a crown of thorns, not a crown of gold. But that was just for 3 days, because the king really did come to town that day. Third thing I want you to see is this. Jesus willingly took the road leading to adversity in order to gain the crown of victory. Too often, we want an easy way, an easy road, an easy path. We don't want to have to sort things out. We want to be dependent on other people. We want what we're familiar with. We want. You know where I'm going with that. You understand it. But Jesus willingly took the road leading to adversity in order to gain the crown of victory. And that's the celebration that we'll have next week. Jesus was leading the procession to a whole new way of life and giving new meaning to what it means to be king. Of course, we know the rest of the story, as one famous commentator used to say. But no one on the road with Jesus that day knew what lay ahead, except Jesus. He knew, and he still took the road, and he still let the people shout, and he still didn't shut them up, and he accepted the praise that they were giving, and he moved ahead into the week that changed history forever. That's what we celebrate today. As he rode into town, he was and is still king. Jesus has never lost it. Never surrendered his authority to another. The devil holds nothing on King Jesus. But this king humbled himself and rode in on a donkey, not a white horse, not a charger, not girded for battle, but on the colt of a donkey. And the people celebrated it. Being on the road to a crown isn't the end of Jesus' story. It's the opening event to a week that would forever shape the world and forever change the lives of the rich and the poor, the weak and the powerful. He was taking the steps on a journey that would change everything about history and countless lives for eternity. That happened 2,000 years ago, and we're still standing here proclaiming Hosanna today. That's why I'm here. Did you know that every person who follows Jesus, loves him, and keeps his commandments is on the road to a crown? The Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, I want to read this scripture to you because it's a wonderful scripture, and it pertains to this. Paul the Apostle knew that he was following the king. He knew that he was coming to the end of his life in 2 Timothy. He knew that it was about over with. He didn't know how it was going to end. He didn't know when it was going to end. He just knew that it was going to. I want you to understand something, church. And those of you who may be listening who do not yet know Jesus, I want you to understand that all of us going through this life, there's a 100% mortality rate. Nobody lives forever apart from Jesus. Nobody. We all are on a terminal journey. And it's how we decide to take this journey and who we decide to follow on it that makes the difference. So as we come to this place, this is what the Apostle Paul said in the closing days of his own life after he had suffered so many things for Jesus. He's writing to a disciple named Timothy that he is going to leave behind to carry on the work, who he has personally trained. And he's leaving him as the bishop or the pastor of the church in Ephesus. And he says this, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." This crown of righteousness that Jesus gives is for all those that loved his first coming and are anticipating his return. That should make us shout Hosanna today. Everything about him should make us shout Hosanna and have hope and believe in the miracle of restoration, the miracle of resurrection, and all the things that are a part of this. That's why this is so important. The book of the Revelation in chapter 3, verse 11, challenges each of us to remain faithful no matter what we face. Remain faithful, church. Yes, we too are facing adversity, all of us. No one is exempt right now. There's no place to hide. This week, regardless of what we may experience, it still holds the promise that Jesus now wears an eternal crown. And like Jesus, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for you and me. If we're willing to lay aside our own fears, our desires, our demands, and proclaim that our King is coming. He's not here yet, but he is coming. He's returning. Meanwhile, we shout, Hosanna! Because we're on the road with Jesus today, and we can trust him with all of our tomorrows. Whether we have many or few, it doesn't matter. We're on the road with Jesus. We're on the road with Jesus. But we have to remain faithful, church. We have to remain following. We have to be willing to lay our coats down and let the donkey walk over it. Whatever. Are you listening to the voice of God? Are you listening to the truth of his word? Are you drawing strength from the Holy Spirit who reveals Jesus to us? Are you letting our God, our Father, father you through this time with confidence in him that he knows where he's leading us? Jesus led his disciples to an event in that week they didn't anticipate. There will be many events in the weeks ahead that we did not anticipate. But I want you to know he's with us through every single one of them. And he's given us an eternal promise that if you stay faithful to me, you'll be with me one day. And it will be eternal. Now, for those of you who have never met Jesus Christ, and I have no doubt that there are some of you who listen who think you know him, but Jesus doesn't promise us because we know him or know about him. It's that he knows us. He knows us by name because we're his sheep, not his equals, not his guards, not his guides, but his sheep. And if you're one of his sheep, do you know his voice? Do you have confidence that he will lead you in and lead you out and supply what you have need of today? If not, I want to encourage you. In just a moment, I'm going to pray a simple prayer. If you have never invited Jesus into your life, I know there are many people who do not believe this is the way to do things. But I believe it is, and I believe it's scriptural. There are no rituals or rites we have to do. The Bible says that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I believe that Jesus will clean you up, stand you up, and send you out with hosannas on your lip. I believe he can change your life in these moments. And if you've fallen away, forget yesterday, start today. Everything about Jesus is today. The Bible says sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about tomorrow. Live today in the hosannas of Jesus Christ. And I want to pray for you that may not know Jesus, and then I'm going to close with a prayer for those of us who do. Lord Jesus, I know that there may be people listening to this or that will watch this later on that do not yet know you. And it isn't the power or the eloquence of my words. It is what you say in your word. That we can come to you. Your invitation is, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Lord, you're not overtaxing us in this time. You're testing us. You're telling us things that we don't want to hear. We're experiencing things we don't want to experience. But you're right there. I pray for those that are so fearful of what tomorrow holds that they're making themselves ill and doubting that they'll make it through. Lord Jesus, I pray in your name that you make yourself real to them in these moments. And your word does tell us that you so loved the world, Father, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Your word goes on to say in the first book of John, says that if we confess our sin, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And if we say that we have no sin, the truth isn't in us, it goes on to say. So, Lord, I pray that those that are struggling right now will remember these words, that if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this morning, that's what we're asking for, Jesus. Now, if you do not know Jesus, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray a simple prayer to start with. This isn't the end all. This doesn't mean after you pray this prayer, you don't have to do anything more ever. It's you have to walk this out. So you'll need to do that. You'll need to find believers. But right now, let's start with this. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and I am fearful. And I'm kind of telling everybody to shut up about their faith in you. Because I'm afraid, not because they are. They're embarrassing me, Lord. And I don't want to be embarrassed anymore. I know that I've sinned, and I know that I've walked my own path. But today, Jesus, I invite you into my life, and I want to join the multitude on the road with you. Would you forgive my sin, cleanse me, and make me one of yours? I give my life to you, Jesus, on purpose, out loud, without shame. And I do it in Jesus' name. And now the rest of this prayer is for those of us who already know the Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray that you give us confidence in the days ahead. Confidence not in the wonderful skills of the medical professionals, the self-sacrificing first responders. As good as those things are, Jesus, you're still our God. You are the one who walks with us through the fires and the waters of life. No matter how deep they get, your word says they won't overflow us and carry us away. Because you are with us. And you'll keep us through them. And I pray that this week, Lord, we reflect on what you did when you rode into that town and everything that changed in the lives of those that followed you. And I pray that they change in our lives day to day and we draw closer to you as we read your word, as we feed on it, as we feed on lunch, and we grow stronger from it. And we don't get rid of the vegetables and things that we don't like. We take what's in front of us and we eat it all. Lord, let us feast in your presence this week. And may we be strengthened by the eternal food that your word brings to us and how your Holy Spirit makes it live in us. I pray, Lord, that this day brings peace and that we have a day, Lord, that begins to see this terrible virus and its grip broken from the lives of people and from the lives of communities, and this weight be taken off of our governments and leaders, for they have to make decisions that they don't want to make, and that our businesses will return. I pray, Jesus, that you stop this virus as we call upon your name and repent. I pray that we are gate guards calling out your name in victory because you are wearing the crown. This time, not a crown of thorns, but the crown of life. Lord, we pray for your peace in our homes. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed day.